you know, that hole. And then it just felt like all of a sudden I just felt this wave, especially when the chorus came, Friend of God. And I was at work and I was early. I looked at my watch. So because I had the pass, I went down, like there's three docks. And then I just went out to the farthest corner where we don't park any airplanes. And I just walked there and I just felt, it was just, you know, it was just like I was crying, really. It was just one of those situations where God just overwhelmed me with his love. And I was just so thankful for that. And I'm just wanted to encourage you with that. So thank you.
Thanks, Zuli. That's amazing. Arnold, come on up.
Thank you. I was planning to share this later, but I guess why not now? I just want to thank God for something he's enabled me to do recently. So I had an uncle who was really, really difficult to deal with. As a matter of fact, he was so difficult that sometimes I could go one whole year without talking to him. And every time we spoke, we ended up fighting, like, consistently, like, he's that kind of person. Like, sometimes he would tell my mom, well, call him on the phone. That's call me on the phone. I want to talk to him. And I tell my mom, you know what, I don't want to talk to him, just deal with him. And let me know if whatever the conversation leads to. Every time we spoke, it was always a fight. And the things we were fighting about were really things that would help the family. So he lived in a family house, and my wife and I decided that we wanted to renovate that house just so other members of the family can use it. And then somehow, I'm just using this as an example, somehow he thought that by renovating the house, we are going to claim ownership of the house and then maybe drive him away for some reason. And so he refused. And this was really bad because someone who's not even a family member had called me a few years ago and said, you know what, I know you are able to renovate this house. The roof is leaking in places. Try and renovate this house. So I decided that I was going to save up to do that with my wife. And then when we were ready, called, because I didn't want to deal with him directly, I called other family members, my other uncles, and said, you know what, go sit down with him, and then I'll call on the phone, and then we'll have this conversation. That ended very badly. So it was really a thing that I knew it wasn't right for me to hold on to resentment against him, but I just couldn't help myself. But over time, I felt like God was starting to prompt me to, you know, let go of the hurt and just deal with him like any Christian should deal with anyone who's difficult. Like, regardless of how difficult he is and everything, just let the grace of God lead the way. It was really hard, but one time my mom went and she was with him, and then he called on the phone. He was saying he was going to sell the family house, that no one is supporting him. And it's not hard to see why no one was supporting him, because everybody is an enemy. Like, every single family member, he drove everyone away, hostile to everyone. So, but after that conversation, I just felt the Spirit of God telling me, you know what, just reach out, forget who he is, do what you have to do. So I reached out to other family members and I said, you know what, we are all Christians in this family, and Christ wants us to be gracious to even very difficult people. Do what you can to support him. So he was really sick, wasn't getting better. So my wife and I decided that we're going to be supporting him every month with some money to buy his drugs, eat. And it wasn't going to depend on his behavior or anything. So we started doing that. The last I heard about that was my mom saying that he was now telling people that it's really good that my family is supporting him, that we are one of his lifelines right now. So he was really grateful, was really sick. And then a few weeks after that, My phone started to ring at 3 a.m. Picked it up and he had passed away. So it was very difficult to deal with, but just standing here to say that I'm grateful that I listened, because I probably would have had a hard time dealing with, you know, if I had resisted the urging of the Spirit to reach out and say, you know what, I don't want anything to do with this difficult person. But just grateful to God for that opportunity to help him, even for a few months before he passed away. And this would also be a request for prayer for my mom. She's been through a lot in the last few months. Between November and now, she's lost a brother and two nieces to sickness. And she's basically the oldest member of the family right now, and she's not even 70. So it's been very difficult for her, I can imagine. And even though this my uncle wasn't the best of siblings, but he was still a sibling, the last one left. And there were four of them, you know, growing up. And my mom is the oldest. She shouldn't be the last one left. She should still have younger siblings, but they are all gone. And her nieces are dying as well from untimely death. And also, please keep my mom in your prayer. I wish I could be with her to hold her, but Nigeria is too far away. But there's nowhere that God isn't. So please keep her in your prayer, that God will continue to encourage her. Like, when I speak with her, I hear words of encouragement from her, but I also hear the pain from having to deal with this. So please keep her in your prayers. Thank you.
Would you be willing to pray? I'm sure there's lots of us who have difficult people in our lives. Could you pray for us that we would be able to? Thanks.
Our dear Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Spirit that sees when we can't and understands things that we can't possibly understand. And Lord, we pray for every single person in this place who has a difficult family member. And I know every family has one like that. Lord, we pray, Ancient of Days, that you would give us the gift of your Holy Spirit that makes us to reach out even when it would be difficult to when it would be easier to stay away. Lord, help us to reach out in love even when we get hatred in return. Help us to turn the other cheek, Lord, just like he had commanded us to do. Because ultimately, it's not really about us, but it's about you. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be gracious, to be the light and the salt that you have called us to be, even when it would have been easier for us to just go off on our own. In Jesus' name, amen.
And I just want to lift up Arnold's mom. Father, we just ask, comfort her, that you would be with her. Father, while Arnold can't be there in person, I pray that you would raise up other sons and brothers and people that could gather around her and strengthen her during this time of loss. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are with her always. We give you glory for the good reports that Arnold's going to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. Cheryl.
I just want to share an item of thanksgiving. About 2 months ago, I learned that my youngest sister-in-law had been diagnosed with cervical cancer, stage 3. She's in her mid-30s, and we were quite shocked as a family. And so got lots of people praying for her, and that's why I wanted to make sure I announce this publicly so that those who have been praying will know. She's since gone through 5 weeks of radiotherapy and once a week chemo, and also Reiki therapy that they do in the body to shrink the tumor. And from a sizable tumor of 4, 5, 6 cm, it's completely shrunk. Like, we were like preparing to go back to Malaysia for a visit. We didn't know how things were. And now she is taking a break from all the treatment and then going back to work. And so I'm like, thank you, Lord. So Thank you all for your prayers and those who have been journeying with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Praise God. Kai, come on up. Hi. So this actually happened in January, and I wanted to share it. Now is a good time. I was journaling at a coffee shop and kind of on a string of a specific topic, and I felt the Holy Spirit kept giving me these images and ideas about all these other things. So I'd be like, oh, okay, and then I'd kind of jot down something else, and then I'd go back to what I was writing, and then he'd give me something else like that. So this was kind of happening, and then I suddenly had this image of a very particular person coming up for prayer at some conference or something, and I know that God is in the details, so I was sort of writing down, okay, you know, he's got this hair, he's wearing this shirt, he's, you know, got a tattoo here, you're just going through all the details, and in the image, I saw him receiving healing and laughing and kind of doing, going through this process, and I'm like, oh, that's really cool, and then so I kind of put it away, and I went to go back to what I was normally journaling, and I glanced up, and noticed somebody had just sat down at a table near me, and he fit to a T the description of the man I had just written down. He's got a blue shirt, jeans, he's got, you know, a red cap on, he's got tattoos down his left arm, he's, you know, this color hair, this height. It was to a T. And I was like, at first I was like, oh, he looks similar, how funny. And then I was like, wait a second, like, it's more than just similar, like, this is, like, exact. And I was like, oh, this is so cool, how exciting. And then I started panicking, because I'm like, oh, shoot, I thought this was like a safely in the future image that I didn't have to do anything about right now. And I was like, oh my goodness, he's right there. And I was freaking out. I'm like, this is a word of knowledge. And so I was like, God, I just need to freak out for a minute, okay? Like, I don't know what to do. And I'm like, but he's sitting there, right? I got time. He's probably doing his work, this and that. Literally right after I thought that, he grabs his stuff and gets up to go. And I was like, no, there's a time limit here and it's fast. And part of what I was journaling was like, I don't want to ever say no to you, God. I want to step in the moment I hear something, whether I know it for sure or not. So it's all this sort of thing. So I was like, okay, yeah, thanks for putting me to the test right this minute. And I was like, okay, I'm trying, God, I'm really trying. I need courage. And you know what? There are other situations where that would be no problem for me to just step in and do something. But because my mind was in another place, it was like I had to do a complete turnaround and move in a complete different direction. I'm more introverted, so I prefer to prepare myself when I'm going to be extroverted. There was not preparation. So he gets up and goes, and I'm like, okay, I have to do this. And I could just feel myself struggling, and I'm like, God, I need a little bit more time. Like, I know that you're calling. I get this. I want to do this. So he goes, and then he stands in the line to the washroom. Now, the whole time, I had been there for a couple hours, there had been no line in the washroom the whole time, but there was now. And I was like, okay. So I'm getting up and sort of making my way a little bit. And then, I didn't do that yet. I'm still debating about it. And I look and I see an adapter, a little, kind of iPhone to something else adapter. And I was like, oh, those things are kind of expensive. Somebody just dropped those, and it was right next to another table. So I'm like, oh, I can do this. So I'm like, oh, excuse me, you know, ma'am, is this yours? Oh, no, I don't think that's mine. And I knew the Holy Spirit's like, that's not hers, Kai. I'm giving you another chance. Like, this is the guy's. And I was like, ah. And so I had it in my hand. I'm like, well, I'm partway there. I'm up, and I have this in my hand. And I was like, there's a point where you just got to dive in, right? No matter how cold the water is. So I was like, okay. So I go up to him, getting in line to the washroom. I mean, a little bit odd, but, you know. And I was like, oh, is this yours? And he's like, yeah, thanks. But then I stay there. A little bit more awkward. I pause because I'm a little nervous, and he's like, yeah, appreciate it, you know? So then I just plunge in, and I'm like, this is going to sound super weird, but I have been journaling, and I often hear God sometimes in my journaling, I hear God speaks to me, and sort of walked him through what I saw. And at first, there was a few moments where I'm like, oh my goodness, he's going to think I'm like stalking him or something, like I would, because I showed him my journal and how to a T it was exactly what he looked like. And I'm like, he could take this different ways. He took it well, thankfully. And I was like, and in the image, I saw that you had been released laughter, and that your laughter broke down strongholds and just set people free in a way that they had never been free before. And I was trying to speak to him, recognizing I don't know what his background is, but I can speak here in a different sort of Christianese kind of way than out there. And he's like, but he was very interested. He said, oh, that's so interesting, because people, don't usually describe me as somebody who laughs. He's like, but I've noticed the times that I do, it has a huge effect on people. And he's like, and then other people who weren't laughing start laughing. And actually, I had just said that, like that you actually bring laughter up and joy up in people. And he's like, that's so true. He's like, are you religious? What's this and that? You know, how are you? Tell me more. And which is a great response. And so I actually, I was like, well, you know what? I would say, I find when I'm talking to people who are, I don't know what their background is, it connects more to them if I talk about spirituality than if I talk about religion. People have triggers with that word. So I was like, what? So he's like, are you religious? Is this religion? I'm like, you know what? I would say I am deeply spiritual, and my source is from God. But I wouldn't say I'm religious. And he's like, wow, I went to a Catholic school. I grew up in a Catholic school, and I was really upset with the legalism. I didn't know that you could have spirituality and not the legalism. And so it propelled all these things forward, and very awkwardly still in front of the bathrooms. But but the point was, God gave me like three different second, third chances, because he knew my heart was there, and I just needed to struggle to keep up. But there was a point where I had to jump in. And I just want to encourage you guys, all of us, me included, to really just take a deep breath and jump in those times when we feel the nudge. It is worth it. Okay. So, yes. So, Holy Spirit, Father God, Jesus Christ, we want all of you. We long for more of you. As you reveal yourself to us, may we respond with a faith and obedience, even when all we know is a fuzzy glimpse or an odd idea. May we step in. And just as you held my hand step by step, you hold all of our hands. We ask for those nudges and those encouragements and those step by steps, those second, third chances. And also just that unction to dive in, because we do have to do that part. So we just pray blessing and grace to propel us into that space. Amen.
Thank you. Thanks. Don't you love, I don't hear God that way, but gifts are all different, right? And it's so beautiful. God speaks to us in ways that we can understand. So he knows each of us, and he will speak to us each in those ways. Thanks, Kai, for sharing that and encouraging us. That was awesome. Anyone? Yes. Come on up. Anna.
Hi, everyone. I'm Anna. Don't really like to do public speaking. Even when I do announcements, I make little notes for myself. So this is a first. I just wanted to share, because one of my prayer requests for God at the beginning of the year when we do our family visioning was that he would help me to grow in my ability to trust him and be less anxious, because it's something I struggle with a lot. And I didn't realize praying that prayer would mean I might have extra opportunities and things I would need to trust him with. But in the last few weeks, there's been a lot happening for us personally in our family that I've needed to learn to trust God more. And one of my fallbacks is, if I'm having a hard time managing my own anxiety, I start to worry about everything else in the rest of our family. And because we have family that lives all around the world in many places, there was certainly a lot happening there too. But a small reminder that God knows me and cares for me was, 2 weekends ago, Enoch volunteered to help build a playground on Keats Island, and Gabby and I came along, and it was just the small getaway that we really needed. And the ability to get out of Vancouver and away from our usual environment and just be in a place that felt very peaceful. Because I'm a writer, one of the ways I often find myself connecting with God is through journaling and also through poetry and reading other people's poetry. And I was reminded this morning that several months ago I had read a poem that was quite meaningful to me. And I'm just going to read a small excerpt because I remember it was about going into nature on your hardest days. And I remember reading it and picturing like, oh, I wish I could do this. Imagine I was somewhere away from the city and I could just think and breathe. And I took a quick look at that poem and realized the scenery and the landscape was kind of what I was surrounded with on Keats Island. So I'll just read a few quick lines. Some evenings after days in the world feels like it has poured out all its despair onto me, when I am awash with burdens that rest atop my body like a burlap of jostling shadows, I find a place to watch the sunset. I dig my feet into a soil that has rebirthed itself a million times over. I listen to the sound of leaves as they decide whether or not it is time to descend from their branches. It is hard to describe the comfort one feels in sitting with something you trust that will always be there, something you can count on to remain familiar when all else seems awry. How remarkable it is to know that so many have watched the same sun set before you. How the wind can carry sunset before you. How the wind can carry pollen and drop it somewhere it has never been. How the leaves have always become the soil that then become the leaves again. How maybe we are not so different from the leaves. How maybe we are always being reborn to be something more than we once were. How maybe that's what waking up each morning is. A reminder that we are born of the same atoms as every plant and bird and mountain and ocean around us. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for sharing. That was awesome. That was beautiful. I don't know about you guys, but I love Testimony Sunday. I love it because it shows, it's just diverse, right? It's so beautiful. It paints a picture of who we are and who God's made us, and how we're all so different, but so beautiful, and we all hear God different ways, and I'm just always overwhelmed and blessed by it. It's just my little ad for Testimony Sunday, I guess. Ashish, come on up.
Good morning, everyone. I'm a little nervous. Back in June, I was leaving a job. It was very secure, very stable. And on the Testimony Sunday, right before I started the job, I wrote down a whole bunch of things that I wanted God to do. So three were very much like, you know, when you go to a performance improvement or like a performance management and goal setting thing, it's all like, yes, Ruben, that's right. It's very much like, I will perform this step and I will be better at this. But there were three things that I wrote down that just seemed like, how's God going to do this? And one of them was, I will find my voice. I will step out from behind the wall and enter into God's presence freely. And specific to that, worship more freely before God, especially in the quiet and in front of people. And I had no idea what that meant. When I took on worship leadership, close to 2 years ago, I was very insecure about my singing, and I wanted to control every aspect. You ask Kieran Abhishek, they get very detailed instructions. On like, not anymore. Hey, spoiler alert. But I wanted to control every aspect, and I wanted to not be found out. And what I realized was, I had an image of this brick wall. I'm in construction, so it's pretty thick, you know, and you can see right through it, but I'm not going to step out beyond it, and I'm going to stay nice and safe, and if it gets too uncomfortable, I'll shut it, I'll put the screen up. And there were a few things that happened in the last few months. So the job that I went to didn't work out. What that meant for me is it put me in a different space. Mentally, I did a trip to Toronto, and that really helped with being able to grip with the shock and the pain. Just come to terms with it, and then put myself in a different mental space so that then I can explore a new city and but also deal with whatever I'm going through. And then I started a new job where I was given this freedom to express myself. And they welcome it. They welcome the goofy impressions and the punny jokes. But then I also get to be kind of a leader and a mentor, and I get to share my knowledge that I've built up over the years. And now we're doing things the way I think are the right ways. And then fast forward to January, we had a prayer and worship meeting that was really important for me. Up to that point, I was exhausted with leading worship. I was considering quitting. But there were some really great prayers that encouraged me to just let go of this control and this methodology and just leave it to God. Just to give you an example, before I would plan a set, I would have 60% ready before the email went out. And now I'll, on a Thursday night, I'll just be like, oh yeah, let's just do this. And I realized that I was holding on to a lot because I didn't want to be found out. I didn't want people to see the vulnerable side of me. I've tried it before, and it's really isolating to be the vulnerable person in the church. Not gonna lie, it's really hard to be the person who is willing to give it all, and then people aren't gonna join you in that. But I think I realized that I was doing it for myself. I wanted God to break through by leading a killer set, and then people come up and pray for me. That's not how it works. It's service to God, and it is worshiping in total abandon that is the breakthrough. It's not about controlling all the little elements, and then God will meet you, and then there'll be a little, like a spotlight right on top of your head. So I started changing the way I worshiped and the way I led worship, and it was more about spending time in the songs multiple days in advance. And so some of the planning was taken away, and it was more about just being in God's presence. Like there'll be one song that just I keep going back to, and I keep going back to. And then it became more about when we practice on Sundays. We don't do Saturday practice. Our band is that talented. But when we come together, we gel so easily, and nowadays for me, it's so easy to just delegate things. You know, I can tell Kieran, can you just do this? And he does it. He takes it away. I can tell. I don't have to control all the pieces. And I think it was two times ago when I led worship. I led a song that was deeply personal to me. And sorry. Yeah, this is exactly what happened. I felt God's love right on stage, and I couldn't continue. I had to stop, and the band just kept going. High five. And I think I try not to. Sorry. Let me collect my thoughts. Okay, take a moment. You're good. What was so unique about that moment was I knew it was coming. and I tried to keep it together. And then at a certain point, I couldn't. Thanks, Ian. And at the end of the service, there were so many people who came up and encourage me. The point of all of this is I want to be a worship leader that isn't just a great musician and puts on killer sets. That's absolutely fun. I love adding elements of my performance side outside of church, do hymns. But I think as I walk away from my insecurities and leave that behind, I sense a real freedom to enter into God's presence. And, you know, if I break down in front of you all again, I'll do it. I'm not afraid. And if something goes terribly wrong, we'll work with it. We'll fly off the seat of our pants. We'll make it happen. God is good. All the time. Amen. My prayer for all of us is that when we enter into worship, is that we can leave that wall, just step out from behind it, move to the front, and we know it's there, and it's never going to run away. Like God will wear our defenses down with his love. It's a given. But we are fully aware that we are hiding behind certain things, and we don't want to come out of it. But when we let it go, it's overwhelming how God just invades your heart and works down your defenses. And then it's just, it's very different is what I'm trying to say. So I'm thankful. I didn't know what it would look like when I wrote that down. I didn't know how humbling it would be. I didn't know the journey that God would take me through. And here I am. And I'm excited for what comes next. And I look forward to leading worship again. I look forward to trying different things. But not let that be the centerpiece of my worship set. 'Cause there's now this freedom of whatever happens, happens. Que sera, sera, right? And so I pray that we all, you know, God will work in our lives to enter into his presence freely, and we can step out from behind the wall. Thank you for listening.
Can you play that for us right now?
Yeah. Heavenly Father, I pray, I thank you for your love and your patience with us. God, you put big things in front of us, knowing full well that you are the conduit to that breakthrough. And you are the provision, and you are the Heavenly Father who walks alongside us. And even when we try to control the elements, and even when we try to walk away and fear what is overwhelming, I thank you, God, that you're still there with us. I pray for our church, God, that we would worship with total abandon in every area of our lives, not just musical worship or any other form of worship, that our lives will be worship in complete, total abandon before you. And God, that you will slowly work at our defenses, and you will allow us to enter into your presence freely, God. It is, your presence is right there, and the invitation is always there, God. And whatever it is we're doing, small or big, God, that you are knocking at our door constantly, knocking at the door of our hearts. And I pray, God, that we would enter into your presence freely. And if we're not in a place right now to enter it, God, just I pray that the comfort of your presence will be enough, that we will enjoy and experience your presence in our lives. We ask all this in your name, God. Thank you that you're faithful. Thank you that you're good. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Ashish. We may have time for one more if there's anyone. Otherwise, okay, there is. Tony, come on up. And then we're going to wrap it up.
Thank you. Excuse me. Zoli came up here earlier and talked about being a friend of God. That touched me deeply. I am a friend of God, and I have been since 1972. But lately, we've been going through some tough times. And then she's got up here and talked about being vulnerable. Do I look a little vulnerable right now? Judy and I have some serious family difficulties going on. It's not us, it's our family. But we're not at liberty to give details. And it weighs heavily. I've been going through some deep grief. And God is going to take me through it. I am a friend of God. And he is walking with me through this problem. And I just want to praise him and praise this church for the kinds of gifts we have here. Mm-hmm. Monica, for example, she doesn't get up there and be a musician. She worships. And we join her in that. And that is powerful. God works through it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Are you done?
Yep.
Can we pray for you right now? Yeah. And you, on behalf of all of those who are carrying heavy things right now, heavy things with family, Father God, we are so grateful that we have you, our Father in heaven, who holds us in the palm of your hand. Not only us, Lord, but our families, our siblings, our fathers and mothers, our children, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, Lord. God, we thank you that you love them more than we do. You are pursuing them. Father God, we ask that you would bring your kingdom in their lives, Lord. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in their lives. Father, I pray for peace for Tony and Judy in the middle of this tough situation. I pray for your assurance. I pray for the reminders of your faithfulness, Lord. I thank you for the reminder that you are their friend and you are walking with them. And God, we commit the situation and all others in here to you. And we just ask that you would show yourself strong on behalf of these situations. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you for being my family. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Thanks, everybody, for stepping up and sharing.